This is All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Jamie Floyd. As you've been hearing, Brooklyn District Attorney Ken Thompson died yesterday after a battle with cancer. He was just 50 years old. Thompson was Brooklyn's first black district attorney. He took office after a hard-fought election with Charles Hines, who had held the office for 23 years. In his less than 3 years as Brooklyn's chief prosecutor, Thompson stopped charging low-level, nonviolent drug cases, and he established a conviction review unit to investigate possible wrongful convictions. Alan Foyer has profiled Thompson for the New York Times, and he joins us now. Hello, Alan.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm all right. I want to talk about Ken Thompson's path to the district attorney's office, because it was not at all typical. Of course, he did work on the Abner Louima case way back in the 1990s and helped in part to secure a 30-year sentence against Justin Volpe. He was the police officer convicted of sodomizing Louima. But then Thompson went into private practice and perhaps most famously represented the hotel maid who accused Dominique Strauss-Kahn, that was the leader of the International Monetary Fund, of rape. Two very high-profile, racially charged cases. What influence do you think those kinds of cases had on him as a high-profile district attorney?
I think that he was someone who naturally sought high-profile cases. He was also sort of interested in issues of race. He obviously became Brooklyn's first black district attorney. I think that the Louima case was in large part a matter of luck on his part. But certainly his representation of Nafissatou Diallo, the hotel maid, was not. He very actively sought representation of her, and he very controversially turned that case into a wedge against the Manhattan district attorney, who I spoke to just today. And Guy Vance very candidly and honestly acknowledged to me that although he and Ken Thompson got off on the wrong foot way back when during that case, they had since become really good friends.
His controversy during the DSK case, as it came to be known, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, is the reason many people were surprised when he ran for district attorney. And then, of course, when he got into office, one of his big challenges was prosecuting the officers involved in the shooting death of Akai Gurley, the unarmed man shot in the stairwell. The public housing stairwell in Brooklyn. And then Thompson pursued a conviction, ultimately recommending, though, no prison time for the officer, Peter Leung, who fired the shot. Surprising choices on both counts.
Surprising, or you can look at it also as very Solomonic. I think both decisions on his part were very difficult. The district attorneys, not just Thompson, but all DAs, have very close working relationships with police officers, and there's a natural hesitation on their part to think very hard and very long before prosecuting cops. Thompson, in this case, made what turned out to be a difficult and one could say courageous decision to push forward with the prosecution, but because that particular case, a rookie cop patrolling a public housing project in a darkened stairwell at night and, by all accounts, firing his weapon accidentally and then by pure chance, the bullet ricocheting and striking its victim, Akai Gurley, and killing him, these were factors that mitigated against pursuing a really tough sentence against Peter Liang. And so Thompson made another tough call. And he recommended no prison time. And it was a decision that earned him the great disdain of Akai Gurley's family that prompted very, very bitter protests on the part of criminal justice activists in New York City. Some of those protests taking place in the middle of the night outside of Thompson's own home in Brooklyn. And so when I spoke to him about these two decisions, he was very pained about them both. And really labored over making them.
Let's talk for a moment about the Central Park jogger case. It's back in the news because Donald Trump has just said he still believes the teenagers, four black, one Hispanic, who were convicted and ultimately exonerated through DNA evidence, Trump is still insisting they were guilty. Even in the face of the DNA prosecutors have, generally they tend to fight reopening of cases. But Ken Thompson was actively looking for cases that the Brooklyn DA's office had wrongfully prosecuted. How innovative or even revolutionary is that?
Well, he did not create the conviction review unit in Brooklyn. Joe Hines, his predecessor, had implemented the unit way back when, but Hines had understaffed it. And it just, amongst Hines' various priorities, that was not one of them. Thompson came in with a very different point of view. I think part of it was racially inflected, because if you look at the numbers of wrongful conviction, they are, like many things in the justice system, skewed towards minority communities. And so Thompson came in and he really staffed up that unit, and he hired internally really, really top line prosecutors to manage it on the day to day. He brought in people from the outside world who had been involved for years in the innocence movement. And if it wasn't revolutionary, it was certainly something that became a national model.
Ken Thompson ultimately recommended vacating convictions in 21 cases. Did he meet any resistance?
I think that any time that you implement one of these offices, you run the risk of a conviction review unit being seen from within as a kind of internal affairs, as a kind of rat squad. So I know that there is an inherent tension when you set up a unit like this. But I also know from talking to the people on the conviction review unit that it's extremely rewarding work, because in many prosecutors' offices, there's a culture of winning that sometimes doesn't have a lot to do or is apart from finding out what actually happened, seeking the truth. And what these conviction review units do, their mandate is to just follow the facts and to find out what really happened and to seek the truth.
Ken Thompson was in office such a short while. Is there a thread of his work to continue to weave into the fabric of a longer legacy?
I think that from talking to a lot of people and knowing that office, I think that he both reflected a couple of trends and helped push them forward. He embodied them and advanced them. And those would simply be that at this moment that we all have been watching, this long moment of tension between law enforcement and the communities, whether that's minority communities or other, Thompson was a guy who came into office promising to restore a sense of racial justice to Brooklyn. And so, you know, that legacy was a meeting of man and moment in a very fortuitous way.
Alan Foyer is a reporter with the New York Times. He joined us to discuss Brooklyn District Attorney Ken Thompson, who died yesterday at the age of 50. Governor Cuomo has said he will appoint Thompson's replacement. Alan, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you.